This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
It's a matter of time before I go back there.
Those questions swirl around this new variant of SARS-CoV-2, this Omicron variant that apparently has a reported 50 mutations associated with it. Well, more questions than answers, obviously. Is it more transmissible than Delta? Well, initial indications are that indeed it is more contagious. Does it make people sicker? Well, once again, if you look at what we know at this point in time, as scientists continue to dive deep in order to better understand this mutation, and it could take them several weeks to really drill it down to where they have the amount of information necessary to make, those informed decisions. But does it make folks sicker? Well, at this point in time, apparently not. People do suffer fatigue as a result of contracting this Omicron virus, but that seems to be the extent of it. But the bigger question is how much protection does a vaccination along with a booster shot or a prior infection provide against it? Unfortunately, the answer to all of those questions at this point is pretty unsatisfying, right? We just don't know yet. Now, we do know that it is present in several countries around the world. As of this point, to my knowledge, and I've been following this pretty closely, it hasn't yet been detected in the United States. But from Dr. Anthony Fauci on down, many are saying, yeah, it's probably already here. And according to Colorado public health officials, it's just a matter of time before the new strain, this Omicron strain, is detected in Colorado. 810 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gale. So you've got Colorado health officials, according to a piece by Jessica Seaman in the Denver Post, expanding their search for this new Omicron variant. One technique that they have implemented is through monitoring community wastewater. Now, again, as you're well aware, Omicron, not yet confirmed in the United States, was identified last week as having been discovered in South Africa. But officials said Tuesday it had been detected in the Netherlands, at least a week before the World Health Organization labeled it a variant of concern. Emily Travanti, director of Colorado State Labs, said during a briefing just yesterday that the state is reviewing a portion of all positive COVID-19 tests to look for the variant, saying we will continue to ensure that we are getting test samples in from all across the state and make sure we are seeing a subsampling of everything that is happening in the environment, adding, I'm confident that we will be able to see Omicron when it does appear in Colorado. Again, not a matter of if, only of when. Public health officials concerned that the mutations, some 50 of them, by the way, found in the Omicron variant could make it more transmissible, or that the immune response might not be as effective, which could raise the possibility of reinfections. That's according to Dr. Rachel Herlihy, the state epidemiologist, although she did stress, and I love when calmer heads prevail, don't you? As you, like I, you probably watched the coverage of this as it broke. And frankly, I found it rather disturbing, the amount of misinformation that was coming out, because the information just isn't available yet about this particular variant. But she did stress, Dr. Hurley, he did, that there is still much that remains unknown about the variant, including the severity of illness that it may cause. The reality, she said, is that we still have a lot to learn. So Colorado's health department is searching for this Omicron variant using diagnostic testing and something known as clinical sequencing. About 16% of all positive PCR tests are genetically sequenced by the state in an effort to identify which variant of COVID-19 has infected the person. But public health officials believe the state's wastewater surveillance program, this began way back when, in August of 2020, it seems like eons ago, doesn't it, will discover the presence of the new variant more quickly than will other methods. The health department updated the program this weekend so that it can now detect genetic markers of Omicron in wastewater. I will say this, kudos to South Africa. Unlike China, for being so transparent. And the minute that they discovered this variant in South Africa, and again, it appears as though that it existed in the Netherlands, perhaps in Germany as well. But as soon as they discovered this, they sounded the alarm. Not the hair on fire alarm, simply the alarm. Hey guys, we have found something here that is quite different when it comes to SARS-CoV-2 than we have seen before. And good for them for doing just that. Seems to me we're still waiting for China to own up to anything. But that aside, apparently, almost 50% of people, and this goes to detecting those genetic markers of Omicron in wastewater, almost 50% of people with COVID-19 shed the virus even if they don't have symptoms. And of course, we're talking about shedding the virus when they go to the bathroom. So the state is partnering with 21 utilities to identify the virus and detect specific variants within broader communities via the wastewater. This is according to Rachel Jervis, an epidemiologist with the health department. But wastewater monitoring cannot identify COVID-19 infections in individual people. The wastewater surveillance, by the way, is how the agency first confirmed the Delta variant's presence in Colorado. Colorado, the first Delta infections were discovered in Mesa County in May. But before that, Colorado was the first state to identify a COVID-19 variant in the nation when it detected what later became known as the Alpha variant, this in Elbert County last December. The case was confirmed by the state lab, and it was notable because public health experts said that the nation lacked the infrastructure necessary to quickly find genetic variations of the coronavirus. The more contagious Delta variant, driving, of course, as you're well aware, the state's most recent surge in COVID-19 cases, with it making up the most cases that have been diagnosed since July. The state still in the middle of one of its worst waves of the pandemic, and while public health officials said the decline in new COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations in recent days is a sign that the situation indeed is improving, well, there is a caveat. They cautioned that the Thanksgiving holiday could be skewing the numbers as fewer people get tested and data can lag around the holidays. Public health officials, of course, said they need to understand more about this Omicron variant before changing their approach to the pandemic, although they still emphasize, as we're hearing from the federal government as well, that getting vaccinated and wearing masks indoors is still important, particularly if you have relatives or if you live with someone that is immunocompromised or someone that, according to public health officials, is more susceptible to the worse impacts of COVID-19, then they advise doing all the things that we already know to do. You had Herlihy saying that Coloradans who are vaccinated should get their booster shots. Again, very personal decision, up to you. So they have stronger immune protection when they are exposed to the virus. But once again, you had Scott Bookman who is Colorado's COVID-19 incident commander. Yes, I was listening to NoCo Now yesterday, and Tanner Schwint, great job there, because you kind of stopped at that term incident commander, and it's been around for a while. That is his official title. At least they're not calling him the Colorado COVID czar, right? But Scott Bookman is Colorado's COVID-19 incident commander, saying, yes, the agency is not considering a statewide mask mandate following the discovery of the variant. Denver and, well, many metro area counties have reinstated requirements that people wear masks in indoor public places, among them Larimer County. And when I'm going between Larimer and Weld County, I always have to remember, okay, what county, where am I? Oh, time to break out the mask, or not, as the case may be. But Bookman saying, what we continue to see is this variable spread of disease across the state. And we know at this point in the pandemic, a single set of orders across the state is unlikely to be an effective technique. Well, good, because we've learned a lot, or we should have learned a lot over the past 2 years, and a one-size-fits-all mandate approach is something we know that does not work. Your thoughts this morning, 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our text line, 888-530-0043. 820 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, this time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse. We're an incredible production of The Sound of Music. Oh, so joyous and uplifting. Takes center stage through January 30th. It's going to be one of the hottest tickets in town, so I would suggest you get online and get tickets and show information. Just pop on to ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now, weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Winter Wonderland.
Well, if you missed the Greeley Lights, the Night Parade, or the Evans Annual Tree Lighting Ceremony and festivities last week, there's no need to despair. You still have the opportunity to enjoy some local holiday fun at the Windsor Wonderland. 827 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, working for Peace out of the Trib by Tamara Markard. Now, the holiday-themed event begins at noon Saturday at the town's Boardwalk Park, located at 100 North 5th Street. And, well, a variety of offerings for the young and the young at heart, for adults, teens, and children of all ages to participate in, including snowball mayhem, lawn games, holiday crafts for kids, complimentary face painting, carriage rides, and so much more. The event will also feature a visit from the Clear View Library Bookmobile. I love bookmobiles. Oh, my gosh, that goes back to my childhood. I'm so glad to hear bookmobiles are still around. The Holiday Food Truck Alley and a Candy Cane Lane. Now, the Park Schoolhouse, Farmhouse, and Train Depot will be open for free tours, and local dance clubs will be performing in the Market Pavilion. Santa will be arriving by a Great Western Railway train at noon to get things underway and take photos with, his adult adoring fans. Windsor Lake Coffee will be hosting a photo booth from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at 430 Main Street. Shop will also be selling a variety of hot and cold beverages and snacks to, well, keep you fueled up and raring to go throughout the full day of activities. Festivities will wrap up at 4:45 p.m. with a tree lighting, a proclamation from the Windsor Mayor, and complimentary cookies outside the Windsor History Museum at 100 North 5th Street. The Windsor Wonderland is free, and all ages are welcome to attend. And well-behaved pets, yes, they're welcome too, but they must be leashed at all times, and an adult must accompany young kids at all times as well. Parking is free and will be available around the park as well as along downtown Windsor streets. So again, Windsor Wonderland will be coming to Windsor, getting underway at noon on Saturday. 8:30 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. So is it the great resignation when it comes to the number of folks saying, I'm out of here, choosing perhaps a different career path? Or, as Lou Cartier wrote in the Greeley Trib, is it the great hesitation? We'll find out when Lou Cartier joins us at 8:35.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary, weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Northern Colorado's Voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, is it the great resignation as people near and far are saying, I've had enough, I'm quitting my job, maybe to move on to be independent business owners or perhaps in pursue other opportunities? 4.3 million people in September alone across the country left their jobs. Begging the question, is it the great resignation? Or, as Lou Cartier, Lou teaches at Ames Community College, focusing on business ethics, law, leadership, and strategic communication. As he says, is it the great hesitation? 8:38 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail, joined by Lou Cartier. Hey, Lou. Good morning, Lou. We seem to be having some technical difficulties. I'm sorry, Ryan. Lou Cartier joins us this morning. She says with a question mark, hey, Lou. Oh, my goodness. That's what happens when the squirrels get the string between the tin cups. So Ryan Kelly, of course, efforting, as the cool kids say, to get Lou Cartier back on the line with us this morning. But he comes to this great resignation, or as he refers to it, the great hesitation, from an interesting vantage point as an educator. And it begs the question as well, is this changing how college students, particularly those whom he teaches at Ames Community College, is it changing the way they view their career path, their career trajectory, as he refers to it in this piece that appeared November 24th in the Greeley Trib? He is wondering if this is truly the great resignation, the big quit, as he calls it, or perhaps the great hesitation, and how can employers best respond to this? Now, as he points out, for context, a record-breaking 7.7 million Americans quit their job in August and September. 4.3 million in September alone, this according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and some 8 million folks remain unemployed, unable, or unwilling to grab hold of the estimated 10 million job openings across the country. Lou Cartier joins us this morning. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Gail. Sorry about the tech glitch.
I know. I was talking about there must have been a squirrel on the string between the two tin cans.
You know what's funny? I was just listening in on a remote regional issues summit sponsored by our Business Legislative Alliance, and the streaming went out for a half an hour. So there's gremlins all around.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, that's what happens from time to time. And we've had to borrow from the COVID-19 lexicon, master the art of the pivot, which you do so darn well.
As do you, Gail. Good point. And it helps to teach the people coming up to be ready for anything.
There you go. So I loved how you put this all into context, because I never thought of the great resignation or the big quit, or as you refer to it as the great hesitation. I never thought about it from an educator's standpoint, which you obviously have done. So is there a trickle down effect when it comes to kids, college students, and their perception of work and the workplace in the future as a result of, well, everything that we have gone through over the past couple of years, but also how the workplace, I think, is indelibly changed as a result of COVID-19?
It appears so, you know, and I'm fortunate to be working, you know, at a gritty institution, a community college, a two-year school. Most of our students work. You know, most of them have a life outside of, you know, four or five classes that they have the luxury of taking and living on a campus dorm, and that's all there is to do. No, that's not the world of Ames Community College or trade schools, you know, or some four-year colleges and universities. But back to your point about an educator's role, you know, I'm seeing the same things you're seeing that your listeners are hearing. And I'm saying, does this resonate with you guys? You know, the folks are saying it's the great resignation. It's the great hesitation that because of COVID, ain't nothing the same anymore.
Right.
Is that true? And they say, yes, it is. And we can talk about specifics, but, I was amazed. Well, I was not amazed. They validated, you know, what seems to be the national phenomenon.
Well, and now we've got the emergence of that Omicron variant of COVID-19. Hasn't appeared yet, or it hasn't been detected, is probably the better way to put it, in the United States. But, yeah, it's certainly going to pop up, and that's going to certainly add additional barriers as folks are struggling to get back into the workplace.
Well, it's part of the conventional wisdom, which I, you know, reflected on in my last column. You know, why is it, you know, with schools reopened and vaccines available and airports jammed, my goodness, the Thanksgiving holiday, you know, was record travel, you know.
And up demand.
And up demand, the supply chain, you know, if you've ordered gifts for your friends, Gail,
Good luck.
You might not get them in time, you know, for the holidays. So with all that going on, you'd think, you know, we'd be going gangbusters. And apparently one of the reasons is that we still remain worried, cautious, especially parents. A lot of my students are young parents, you know, and they're just not sure whether, you know, they can risk either grandma and grandpa who they're taking care of or their little kiddos and getting, you know, child care that's reliable and reasonably priced, close to them. Those are reasons that are slowing their return to the workforce. But that's just one, okay? You know, there are other things, too, like just being burned out.
Right.
I mean, don't you feel that, Gail?
Yeah. Yeah, so many.
I haven't asked Ryan, your producer, but he's probably stressed too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he has to work with me every day.
Well, so. I'm sorry. No cost for that straight line, Gail. You can have that for free.
Yeah, right. You just teed that right up. Yeah.
But in healthcare and education, I mean, in the helping professions, especially nurses, doctors, everybody in that kind of a setting has just been stressed to the max. And they're saying, oh, my gosh, I don't know that I'm ready to go back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. That's.
Well, then, you know, you couple in the fact, as you point out in your column in the November 4th at Greeley Trip, by the way, it's still up online. It's a great piece. You talk about the reasons behind this mass exodus of folks from the workforce when there's, 10 million job openings across the country. But I can't help but think that part of it, along with burnout, is the fact that over the past couple of years, we've had a lot of time to reflect. We've had, you know, a lot of time to spend with loved ones, with our families.
Yeah, we have.
The entire work paradigm has changed, as many of us have turned into Zoom zombies.
Sure.
But we want to find more meaningful work. And as a result of that, I think, as you point out in the column, is that, we're less fearful about walking away from less than ideal work conditions.
Sure. Yeah. It's about leverage, isn't it? You know, it's not an employer's market. It's an employee's market. It's an applicant's market. It's just like in real estate, right? I mean, it's a seller's market. Thank goodness Barbara and I have our home and equity, and our kiddos do as well. Our adult children do, but oh my gosh, all the cards are on my side, the appreciation of values. And it's now young people are realizing that they don't have to put up with quote unquote, terrible hours, abusive supervisors, working conditions that may or may not be unsafe, unscheduled overtime that they have to take or leave. I mean, there's just a catalog of things that they're saying, I ain't doing it no more. And, and frankly, they have new ways of earning money. It's not what you and I might consider a career job in broadcasting or media or journalism or education, but it's enough to get them through until some kind of rebalancing occurs. Mm-hmm. And they are saying to their employers, hey, if you want me to do that awful stuff, you've got to pay me more. You've got to honor my personal time. And you have to give me more flexibility. If you think I'm good, if you think I've got the talent, if you think I am coachable, then give me a little more room to maneuver. I think the flexibility is the key thing that I'm getting from my students. Let me do the work. I'll figure out how. I'll let you know if I need your help, boss. And for a lot of controlling bosses,
that doesn't
scary.
Work.
That doesn't work. I don't know if I can trust you. And I think, people are saying, well, if you don't want to trust me, I can go somewhere else. Where they will.
Well, and it's interesting because as you reference in your column, you talk about Mike Rowe and dirty jobs, the so-called jobs that, we were always told that many Americans wouldn't do, but they seem to have taken on a new sort of panache.
Oh, no question. I love that you picked that up, Gail, because my students really resonated to my challenge to take a look at Mike Rowe and what he's doing and what he's learned and the insights that he has. And, oh, my gosh, Mike is a guy, a personality who used to do a show from 2003 to 2012. It's been on hiatus, but he's coming back. He's got a new show called How America Works, and he's going to have something else streaming. But
he is so down to earth and inspirational and uplifting.
Well, I'm glad you thought that. And if you look at my column online, there's a link to a TED Talk, which is a stand-up mm-hmm. 17-minute thing. He did one of those in Silicon Valley that was hugely successful. But he was in Craig, Colorado on a sheep ranch, you know, a few years ago. And it's a fun story, and people will get they'll enjoy the humor of it. But it forced Mike Rowe to say, oh, my gosh, I thought there was one way to do everything, but there's a better way. And the people on the front line, the people doing the dirty job, they know how to do this. They know how to do it efficiently, safely, humanely, and profitably. And I never realized that. And I love that he had that sign kind of humility, because he's saying, you know, there's a war on work in this country, and it's in four places. It's in Hollywood, it's on Madison Avenue, it's in Washington, and it's in Silicon Valley. You know, and we all think we know best. But right. The people who do the dirty jobs, guys and gals who Mike says, you know, are the happiest, they know how to get it done. They know how to, you know, be clever and be rewarded and be respectful and have fun while they're doing it. So they defy the stereotypes that we have of people who don't have a 4-year college degree as being dumb and oafish and can't get a better job. And Mike just turns that around in its head. And my students really were grateful to him for it.
Well, and as you ask, I think in just an incredible fashion, because it made me think, particularly from the perspective of you being an educator, is there a new conventional wisdom aborning, meaning that, you know, college universities, even community colleges, trade schools, well, that's an option, but it's not the only option.
Well, you know, on my screen, Gail, I'm in my office right now. I'm looking back at my discussion post, and I'm looking at a student right now who says, we've always heard about vocational jobs, right, as something inferior. We've always been, they've been an alternative to education or higher education. And she is saying, ain't so. You know, this is pretty high. This is education. I can be as successful at any job and make as much money and get as much career enjoyment as, you know, what I've been told by my teachers and counselors is only possible through a 4-year degree. And, you know, as a guy who's worked in education his whole life, higher ed, you know, I've worked for 4-year schools, top 4-year schools across the country. And I used to, frankly, you know, I'm sorry, but I used to turn my nose down at community colleges. I would have bought the Kool-Aid, drunk the Kool-Aid, you know, right, thinking they're inferior. And it's been such a privilege to be at Ames, you know, these past 10 years or so, dealing with students like this, because I'm sorry, you can tell I'm a little animated about this because I'm passionate about it. And I want your readers,
as I hope you would be as an educator.
Well, thank you, Gail. But, you know, I'd want to share one of the most brilliant insights that I picked up from Roe. Roe says, everybody in authority, your mom, your dad, your teacher, your counselor says, follow your passion, right? Mm. Follow your passion and you'll be happy. And he says, no, that ain't it. It's the people who are doing these dirty jobs and are happy saw an opportunity. They saw something that nobody else wanted to do. They're willing to do it, and they have a great sense of satisfaction, and they are, you know, earning a good living, and they are feeling like they are being rewarded because they are developing opportunities. And he talks about the examples, you know, of guys who transfer manure from a farm, you know, they collect manure and they turn it into organic pots that he is now selling to Walmart. And this guy's farm is now worth $60 million. So did he have a passion to scoop up manure?
No.
Well, of course not. But he had an interest in seeing a business opportunity.
There you go.
Well,
and isn't that what we're all looking for, is satisfaction in our everyday life? A little carpe diem there.
Sure.
Lou Cartier, a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Lou Cartier teaches at Ames Community College, focusing on business ethics, law, leadership, and strategic communication. 8:55 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Carr with Fat Guys at the Movies, and you're listening to Mornings with Gail on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big shout out to my tech producer, musical maestro, Ryan Kelly. Great job as always. And don't forget, NoCo Now with your host, Tanner Schwint, coming up next.